The Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Generator Supercenter and Tylock Nasser Vision.
I wonder if we'll also talk to Tiger today at 8:40.
I don't know if we still have that number for him.
I think we do.
I don't know. I think we have more of a number for Avery Johnson.
Interesting choice.
And and Wade Phillips. They have an apartment together, I know now. So maybe we call up that apartment, see who we can talk to. Who knows? No. We'll find out. Update on my making friends with the crows. It's not going well. They fly away every time I arrive on the scene.
Hey, bird. Because they're moron birds.
They're not moron birds. They're incredibly smart. They can do the math of a 7-year-old. That's what they say. But yeah, every time I see them out front, I'll go out there with my handful of unshelled peanuts, and they fly away. And I go and I drop them off on this little perch that I have built where they can, for their peanut exchange, the peanut exchange market that I've set up for them. And they don't come back until I leave the premises. And then they'll come in and swoop in and get all the peanuts. So they're not doing the thing that I need them to do in order to be friends with me.
It's a great story. This is a fascinating story to follow.
I will eventually raise my crow army, and you will be sorry that you did not spend time investing in your friendship with the crows when they attack you and pick you apart piece by piece.
Yeah, I'd like to see them try it.
And then in a dramatic close-up, they peck your eye out.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then you go, "Wah!" and you scream. And then it cuts to a quiet scene.
And then they play volleyball with it.
What? They set up a little net?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But another thing about animals is that squirrels are now vaping.
I need to hear more.
That's the last thing they need.
You don't want to, they already are so tweaked out.
Yeah.
They'll need to be smoking cigarettes and getting all hopped up on nicotine. There's a viral video that went viral recently. Yeah.
Things go viral.
Painted yourself into a bit of a verbal corner.
Sorts of reasons.
Talked myself
in this world.
Right into the corner. But there's a gray squirrel that's seen with a vape device, and he's vaping, chewing on the end of it, and it's, I guess he's getting a little vape juice out of it. But they say that these squirrels are attracted to that fruity smell, and so it smells like something that they want to consume. And there's been several videos of squirrels with vape devices, and of course everyone's having a good time with it because it looks like the squirrel is the desperate vapor at the intersection that you always see driving a Maxima and blowing a huge cirrus cloud out of his driver's side window at a stoplight. How can people get so much vape?
I don't know.
Vape. Vaporizer? Vapor? Vape vapor?
Whatever.
That sounds weird to say vape vapor.
Yeah. I always just say smoke, even though it's vape.
Yeah. Vape smoke. Yeah, it's always people in Maximas at intersections. And they exhale, and it looks like their car backfired.
Why is it when somebody vapes in public, if they're just walking around, they do it so secretively, like they're they don't want anybody to see. They duck their head, and they bring their hand up, and they're just... Where people, when they smoke, they just smoke, but
right.
People are... It's like they're very embarrassed that they're vaping.
Yes. It always has the veneer of desperation to it, to me.
Yeah.
It's always... Looking around, darting the eyes around, and then having to nurse on that thing a little bit. Get that quick fix.
I don't want anybody to see me, but I don't have time to go somewhere where I'm hidden. So I'm just going to try to sneak this.
Just going to try to palm the vape and just going to bring it up to the face.
Because I'm so desperate for it right now.
So... even though we recommend that no one smokes. But smoking always kind of looked cool. And it still does in the old movies, you know. The suave person will smoke. But vaping has never quite broken that barrier.
No.
Never broken to the coolness variable.
Is it because it looks like you're playing a kazoo?
Yes.
Smoke kazoo?
Can't they make a, and they put them with LED lights or RGB lights or RBG, whatever that is. You know, they make them all decorative and they try to make them look cool. They make them look like, they light up like a nightclub half the time when you vape off of them.
You used to vape.
But yet they still, yeah. Yes, I did.
Was that tougher to quit than?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Really? That was tougher than the cigarettes?
It was horrible to quit. That was the toughest thing I've ever quit.
Wow.
Cigarettes, smoking, the drinking alcohol, all of that was a cakewalk compared to quitting vaping. Hmm. Because I did it constantly. You start your day vaping, and then you keep vaping until you fall asleep.
That's
like with cigarettes, you would have to wait between cigarettes. With vaping, you just keep vaping. You don't run out. There's never an end to that.
What's more beaten, to wake up and take the hit of vape or light that first cigarette?
I think lighting the first cigarette is more beaten than
before you have breakfast.
Yes. Yeah, the person who smokes before they even get out of bed.
What a terrible thing to do when you first wake up.
I know.
Ugh.
It's so bad.
Or the late night cigarette right before you go to sleep. That you have a long ash, right, that you barely put out before you go to sleep.
As you're reading a couple pages of your book before you go to sleep, you're smoking at the same time. Bedside ashtray is one of the most beaten looking things ever.
I'm going to write that one down.
Would you have an ashtray?
Bedside ashtray.
Beside your bed that you need to empty. That is really beaten.
Yeah.
Really beaten. And, yeah, I've done that before. I've awakened and had a cigarette in bed before.
You had a bedside ashtray when we lived together at the Ticket compound.
I know. I know. And my single mattress, twin bed mattress, was on the floor. I had no bed frame.
No.
And I had a bedside table that I used to have to reach up and ash into where I thought the ashtray was because I couldn't see it.
Now
come
that
a long way.
Is beaten.
And over in front of the window of my bedroom was just an open suitcase that was my dresser. I just kept it open on the floor, and that's where all my clothes were. And that was all that was in the room. Yeah. I had three pieces in my room, an open suitcase, a twin mattress on the floor, and then the bedside table that was so high I couldn't see where the ashtray was.
Now, you had a couple of T-shirts that were hanging up in the closet.
I did. That's how I would dry them. They'd hang up. I wanted them to look nice.
You had to occasionally take inventory and think,
no.
What am I doing with my life right
no,
now?
No, I was very happy with my life. That was the first place I lived outside of my parents' house.
And you
that doesn't
and I,
sound like living to me.
And you and I shared a Jack and Jill bathroom.
Yeah, that was weird. I felt like kids again.
Mm-hmm.
Here I move out of my parents' house, and we're in a house together. It was four of us that rented a house together, five of us, because our neighbor Tom was the guy who originally had my room full time. And then we split time for a little bit.
Right.
Because he was a flight attendant, and he was always off, you know, so I would have that room then. And then eventually he said, I ain't doing this. And then he left, and then I just had the room, and I had no furniture, so I had to move in just the twin mattress and then this old piece of furniture from my parents' house for a bedside table. So I stayed in there. I know how much I paid for rent. I paid $185 a month.
Not bad.
Did that house come furnished? Where did we get all the furniture?
No, did not come furnished.
We had to furnish it?
I think Grego had some furniture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I can't even picture, like, the living room and stuff when you walked in there.
I know
from the front door.
There was a front living room, and I think that was empty.
Okay.
And then there was, like, the den where we all lived.
We had a TV, and I remember a couch in there.
Yeah. And we had a kitchen that only had beer and ice cream in the fridge.
Yes. Grego would buy so much ice cream. We put in there. And then, yeah. And at that time, we had a sponsorship with a beer company. And they would just, every Monday, seem like they would deliver just pallets. Because they own like 30 different brands. This one beer company. And they would drop it off. and it would just be cases upon cases of beer, and that's all we did at that place was drink.
So much beer.
And it was the first, I guess we started renting that before the ticket was even, was just over a year old.
Yep.
So it was the very early days, and we had that pool that we would just always swim in and drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
We would drink and swim. Great combination.
Oh, yeah. Terrific.
While doing feats, challenging feats of strength and daring.
I almost broke my neck in that pool.
Yeah.
On the Metrex Challenge.
We'd get drunk, and then we'd try to do really risky dives into the pool, and Craig hit his head on an inflatable and snapped his neck backwards and stayed underwater for about a minute before he finally surfaced.
No, I wasn't. I did all that, but I didn't stay underwater for a minute.
So anyway, squirrels are vaping.
Okay.
That's happening. And then, in search of, I mentioned this to you guys when I arrived here this morning at 3 a.m. to start my extensive show prep.
You mean 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And so I went watching all the film. You guys are never obsessed with filming locations, are you, for movies?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay, you like that.
In fact, I will sit through the credits to see where a film was filmed.
Talk yourself into a corner there, pal.
Because I am interested in this.
Yeah, and if I'm in some town and find out, oh, this famous movie was shot there, I want to see those movie locations.
Yes.
Particularly really iconic ones. And I know my brother Boo, not his real name, has done this. He's gone on the No Country for Old Men trail of triumph.
Wow. Okay.
And gone to this little town in New Mexico called Las Vegas, New Mexico. And that's where they filmed a lot of No Country for Old Men, the classic 2007 Coen Brothers movie. Which I think is up there with like Shawshank as a great guy movie. I think every guy loves No Country for Old Men.
Yep.
And, whoa.
Oh, yeah, you're really surprised that I didn't give it
that to you. Movie you don't love?
We're not going through this again. We've talked about it like
I mean, I get
5,000 times.
I thought it was Team America that you didn't really love.
Okay.
But No Country.
Yeah, we'll go with that answer.
Really and truly, you don't think it's good?
I would not put it in my top five. I thought it was decent. I think you vastly overrate it, but yeah, it was a good movie.
Okay, I know you don't like Pulp Fiction, the Quentin Tarantino
way
movie.
Way overrated, yeah.
But you would put No Country for Old Men higher than that, or are they about the same to you as that you just feel they're overrated? And
I could go
the
rest
deal?
Of my life and never see either film again.
Damn. Okay. All right.
I got it.
I'll live with that hurt for a while. But yeah, it's a fantastic movie, and the little gas station that they filmed the famous coin toss scene in, the college, and
one of the greatest scenes in movie history.
It's so good. It is so good. It's a really old abandoned gas station that's outside of Las Vegas, New Mexico, and the room they filmed it in is probably, it looks like it's about 10 by 15 feet. And they filmed that whole scene in that actual little gas station, a practical location. And it's still, there's still the road grader out back behind the window that's in the background of that thing. That's a real old road grader that was sitting there. The Coen brothers just use real locations like that, not set dressed, fake locations built on a soundstage. It's so good, and I've got to go on this Trail of Tears. And in Marfa, Texas, was the other big filming location.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
And they were filming No Country for Old Men and There Will Be Blood at the same time outside of Marfa.
Huh.
Yeah. And there were several times the productions had to wait for the other one to be finished. They were trying to coordinate between the thing. Think about that. Those two huge classic movies filmed at the same time in the same place.
Mm. Where did they film the highway scene where Anton Chigurh pulls out the pneumatic, whatever that thing is, and
does it to that guy?
Yeah.
That was outside of Marfa.
Okay. Because that's what it looks like.
And I think that the guy who, the passenger that he did that to, was the guy who was kind of showing them around Marfa at the time. And the Coen brothers liked that dude. He's a local.
Huh.
He was just like a visitors bureau guy or something. And they liked the dude, and they said, hey, you want a part in the movie? And said, yeah. And so he played the role of when Sugar gets out and says,
will you hold still for just a moment, please?
Did Javier Bardem win an Oscar for that?
He did.
He should have.
The crazy thing is, he wins Best Supporting Actor. I'm so confused as to what is a supporting actor and what is an actor.
Who was the lead, Tommy Lee Jones?
I would say that Josh Brolin was the lead, right? Llewellyn
Moss?
The guy
on the run?
Yeah. The guy who finds the money and...
Yeah.
But Tommy Lee... You could argue that any of those guys were main actors. They were all main actors. Those are the three main guys. Sugar, Llewellyn Moss, and Tommy Lee Jones as Ed Tom Bell.
Yeah.
And... And maybe, and Woody Harrelson would be more of a supporting actor.
Great cast, by the way.
And then Kelly McDonough, or whatever her name
McDonald.
Is. McDonald.
Yeah.
She's great. Has that thick Scottish accent, but has a very passable Texas accent. It's great. So anyway, that actual gas station, now I'm determined I want to buy that and restore it back to the way it was in the movie.
That's a great investment.
And then live there. Every video that I've seen of someone that's going to visit that site and they're trying to narrate what they're seeing and all that, the wind noise is so loud on the video camera microphone that they can hardly talk. Half of them have to overdub afterwards because it's so windswept and desolate out there. Mm. He stood everything to lose on the coin toss. And then I spent hours watching reaction videos of other people watching that scene for the first time. Just seeing how tense they were afterwards. It's so crazy.
All right, Gordo. Thank you.
The end.
Messed up.